It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're with us on the program tonight. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, is here. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, good to be with you tonight. Kind of a rainy night here in Middle Tennessee, so it's an extra good night to be inside, be studying the Bible, and we look forward to having a good discussion from the Word of God as we try to do each Thursday night on the Virtual Bible Study.
It's always a good night to study the Bible. If this is your first time on the Virtual Bible Study, it works like this. This is just a Bible study group that we have collected over the internet, and we take calls and emails from our listeners. It is a listener participation program in which we welcome you to participate in the study tonight. You can do so by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments to questions@collegeview.com. And then a third way you can participate in the program tonight is over Skype. There's a Skype button on the program on the website where you logged on to the program tonight. Click that button and you can be connected to us and talk to us over the internet on Skype tonight. We're glad that you've taken time to be a part of the program, and we hope you'll stay tuned. I want to talk about homosexuality tonight. It is in the news everywhere. As the upcoming election is upon us and homosexual marriage amendments are in several states, I think 8 states are voting on that this November. That's in the news a lot. A lot of other current events in the news about homosexuality. It seems that homosexuality is becoming a larger and larger part of our society.
That's right. Just this week, there was a big court case, I think, in New Jersey, where the court in New Jersey made a decision justifying gay marriage and saying that the state must authorize it. As you mentioned, Jacob, here in Tennessee, along with several other states, there are initiatives on the ballots. In Tennessee, there's a proposed amendment that would ban gay marriage, and so that's something that we're voting on right here in Tennessee, but other places as well. We know that this is really in the forefront. There's been efforts by some companies to extend spousal benefits to gay partners, and it just seems like it's sort of an explosion of news stories and related events occurring right now. And so we thought we should devote the Virtual Bible Study tonight to a thorough discussion of what the Bible has to say about that. You know, we're not here, we never are we trying to express our own personal opinions. We're trying to find out what the Bible says. That's what the Virtual Bible Study is all about. So we want to look to the Bible. What does the Bible say about homosexuality?
We see our society accepting homosexuality at an alarming rate, and unfortunately, we see religious organizations doing the same. Numerous religious organizations are accepting homosexuality and are even promoting it. We see in Nashville, in the Tennessee, and on the 21st of this month, an announcement, a former leader of the Presbyterian Church of the United States, an author of a book in favor of gay marriage and the ordination of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender clergy, will speak at Second Presbyterian Church on November 13th. The Reverend Jack Rogers' book, Jesus, the Bible, and Homosexuality, Explode the Myths, Heal the Church, will lecture on his book, followed by a reception and book signing. Rogers is a professor of theology, and it goes on and gives his credentials there. But the Presbyterian Church is an example, Dad, of a religious organization who's promoting homosexuality, accepting it, and promoting it. And so that is an alarming trend.
So what you're indicating is that even among religious people, they are varying beliefs in regards to homosexuality. And so we need to go back to the Bible. In other words, even in the religious world, there's differences about what people believe and understand concerning homosexuality. So we need to go back to the Bible, and that's what we're going to try to do.
We live in a corrupt society, and the temptations and the trends of society are upon us every day. We need to know how to respond, especially towards homosexuality. What are your thoughts? We want to hear from you tonight on the program. 931-381-4567. Email us questions@collegeview.com, or you can Skype us on the program by using the button on the page where you logged on to the program. Joining us in the studio to help with the discussion tonight, Chris Bates is here. Chris has been here before. Chris, welcome back to the Virtual Bible Study.
Thank you, Jacob, and thank you, Greg, and to the elders also at College U for the invitation to come and assist on the program tonight.
Chris, I know you're alarmed at the trends you used to see in our society, and we need to know what God says about homosexuality and how we should respond to it so we can be pleasing to God. That's what's most important.
Sure. Psalm 119, verse 104, the psalmist says, "From your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." And that's very strong language, but it's important language because the teaching is very clear that there is a false way, there is a right way, and we are to love that way that leads in truth, and we're to hate that way that would cause us to follow the broad path that leads to destruction. And there are any number of avenues wherein we're tempted and could fall into that broad path, and this subject that we're talking about tonight is no exception.
That's right. What we're doing in this life, Chris, matters. It has eternal consequences. That's why we're here tonight, to study God's Word, to find out what God wants from us, and so that we can be doing what God's will is for us in our lives.
Right. John chapter 5, again, Jesus said in verse 28, "Do not marvel at this, but an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, and those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who did the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment." Very simply put, our Lord was saying that those who follow after him will be justified, and those who shun his way and walk not after him will lose their soul. And it's very important, yes.
So we want to hear from our listeners tonight. What do you think about homosexuality? What's your understanding of what the Bible teaches about it? How should we react to this sin of homosexuality? What should we do in regards to voting in the upcoming election and all such things? Give us a call. Send us an email. The phone number is 931-381-4567, or send us an email at questions@collegeview, C-O-L-L-E-G-E-V-U-E, collegeview.com.
All right, we're talking about homosexuality. We need to know how to respond. As we talk about homosexuality, we see a lot of people trying to defend it, Dad, and even, as we said, some religious people trying to defend it. One of the claims that the homosexual make, Chris, in their defense of their behavior and their lifestyle is, well, we love each other, and if we love each other, it certainly can't be wrong. Certainly, if we love each other, God would expect and accept us expressing our love in this way.
I've even got a couple of quotes along that line from the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches, from one of their tracts, Homosexuality, What the Bible Does and Does Not Say. They quote, "Neither heterosexual love nor homosexual love is sinful in itself. Sex acts only become sinful when we act in lust or in abuse of another person, abandoning the ways of love. The relationship of two women or two men can be just as loving as a relationship between a woman and a man." So in other words, they're arguing that as long as an act is engaged in as an act of love, as long as we love each other, then the sexual activity is not sinful in and of itself. They're very clear on that.
Basically, the way they break it down there is, if we define it as love, if it's something that makes us happy, it therefore must be love, and therefore it is okay. That's the way that they're trying to define love there.
That same tract goes on to say, "For a man or woman whose sexual desire and drive is inevitably toward the same gender, acting in homosexual physical expression is in fact a way of glorifying God and opening the self to the divine love in human affairs." What about that? What do you think, Chris?
Well, it doesn't really matter what I think about it. It matters whether or not that lines up with truth, and that's what we're getting at tonight. This is not a program where we're trying to bash any particular people, but we're following after what the Lord said, and we're trying to determine if what that tract says that Brother Gwen just read is indeed in the scope of truth or not. Now, to answer again the question I think that was originally put to me, some of these folks will say, "But we love each other, and so that's good, and so, you know, what's wrong with that? We love each other, we should be able to cohabit with one another," or whatever it is that, you know, we're talking about here. And the fact of the matter is, that's not always the case. And I want to answer that, but I want to try to answer it this way. What if there were a heterosexual couple who were engaging in an adulterous affair?
But they
love each other.
In other words, if a man was to have a sexual relationship with another man's wife,
that's right,
but it was a loving act. They were in love with one another. So basically what you're arguing there, Chris, and I think I see it the same way, taking this view would justify any and all moral vices. I mean, there wouldn't be anything that you could say was wrong.
And I want to come back to that in just a second. But to make sure we get this passage out here, Hebrews 13:4. The writer there says that marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So one commits adultery by marrying someone to whom he is not bound, Matthew 19 at verse 9, Mark chapter 10 at verse 12. He does that, and we find that adulterers will be judged and will not inherit the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10.
And it doesn't matter if they did it as an act of love
that's
or not.
Right. Now on this we love each other thing, where do you draw the line on that? And here's what I mean. There's an organization out here called NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association, who argue for the homosexual way of life between men perhaps of my age and older, 35-ish and older, with boys who are consenting to this relationship who are 13 or so. Where do you draw the line on that? Now, there are some homosexuals who will say, no, we couldn't go that far. But the NAMBLA Association, which has been hammered by religious conservatives, is not backing down from that position. And they're making the claim that, well, these two have consensual feelings for one another, they love one another, and who are we to stand in their way and say that that's wrong?
Really, the problem with this view, as long as it's done in love, it's okay, is that it ignores loving God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so in other words, we can't justify an act because we have personal love for another person. We're supposed to love God above all, and God's love requires that we keep his commandments.
You know, it almost is like it's a license to do whatever you want as long as you can put it under the umbrella of love. Mm-hmm. And Romans chapter 13, verse 10 defines love for us, where it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment or the fulfilling of the law. Dad, if we love our neighbor as we should, we're not going to do what we define as love. We're going to do what God has defined by love, and that is by keeping his commandments. By keeping God's commandments, we can be sure that we're loving our neighbor as he wants us to love them.
Exactly right. So I hope everybody can agree that that argument just falls far short of justifying homosexuality. And I think the strongest argument against that view is that if you accept that view about homosexuality, you're basically going to have to accept that view about every other moral vice.
Well, you think if Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the difficult days coming in the last days, so to speak, and he said there that men would become, in verse 4, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that is really what these folks are doing. And it's not so much different than folks who are just content to commit fornication. But they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, or they wouldn't be doing the things that they're doing, especially arrogantly claiming that these things glorify the Lord somehow.
Yeah. We don't glorify the Lord by doing our will. We glorify the Lord by doing his will. And I think that's the key.
The number to call is 931-381-4567. We want to hear from you on the phone tonight. We want to take an email from you. Send us an email to questions@collegeview.com, or you can Skype us on the program by Skyping the virtual Bible study or just clicking on the button on the page you use to join in on the program tonight. We love to hear from you on the program tonight. This is a listener interactive program in which we want your questions and comments as we talk about homosexuality and our reaction to homosexuality as God has instructed us in his scriptures. What about the argument, guys, that the homosexual would say, well, I was born this way. I was born with an affection towards the gender of my sex, and I am not a heterosexual, but I was born a homosexual. What would you say about that argument?
Well, I think that's probably one of the most frequent arguments made, is that it has to be okay because people are born that way and God wouldn't make them that way and then tell them that they couldn't practice their however they were made. God somehow was going to prevent them from acting in what came natural to them. You know, that argument is the homosexual community has been trying for a long time to come up with some kind of clinical proof that people are born homosexual, and to my knowledge, they've not even come close to being able to do that. I've got just an array of quotes here that indicate otherwise. Time magazine said most psychologists believe homosexuality is conditional, not congenital. Another quote here says conditioning is the predominant cause of homosexuality. Conditioning by parents, siblings, by dating, and other experiences. Genetics alone is never the cause. Genetic studies of homosexual and heterosexual groups cannot accurately distinguish between the two groups. The preponderance of evidence supports the view that homosexuality is an acquired sexual orientation. The evidence is overwhelming that genes do not cause homosexuality, and that's by Counseling Homosexuals by Bill Flatt. And we could go on and on. Masters and Johnson even said, and they were very liberal on their sexual research, Masters and Johnson said the genetic theory of homosexuality has been generally discarded today. And we could give more quotes, but the experts just do not accept that argument, and the homosexuals, although they've desperately tried to prove it, have not been able to successfully prove
you
that
know,
you're born that way.
If they could prove it, what would it prove? It wouldn't prove anything. I was born a heterosexual, but I still have to behave in a way that's accordance with God's will, right? I'm not, just because I was born as a heterosexual doesn't give me license to do whatever I want to do. I have to do it in the bounds that God has established in His Word. And if I was born a homosexual, I would still have to do the same.
Yeah, but there would be no such bounds for the homosexual. I mean, he would never be able to be...
Right, there would be no bounds, but right. I'm
but
still...
There would be for the heterosexual.
There actually are bounds. You can't express it at all
right.
if you're born that way.
Right.
But the studies don't...
But I think
that.
We're in agreement that idea is an absolute indictment on God to create someone to have tendencies towards sinful things all of their life and then not allow them to... practice that is an indictment on the Lord, who does not create individuals with a disposition to sin against Him. They make a choice somewhere along the way, which is what accountability is all about.
And I think that's what these quotes that we were just referencing and dozens of others indicate. There's
right.
just not – the homosexuals make that argument. And I think that there's been a pretty good selling job done on that many people in the general population believe that people are born homosexuals, and there's just not any evidence to support that. Go ahead, Jay. I think we got a phone call coming. Let's go to that.
Okay, let's take the phone call, and we'll go up to Orleans, Indiana, and welcome Mike to the Virtual Bible Study. Hello, Mike. Thanks for calling.
Hey, brother. It's good to talk to you tonight. I really appreciate the program tonight. It's a good program. It's good to talk to you guys again.
Good to talk to you.
Well, you know, in regards to what you're talking about right now, I think it's interesting. I think the Bible indicates what makes a homosexual a homosexual. I don't think it's the fact, even if I may or may not be born with a tendency, you know, if I might be born or raised or whatever might cause me to be attracted to the same sex, I don't think that that's really what makes a person a homosexual. If you take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and you look down in verse 9, this letter was written, and it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." And then verse 11 says, "And such were some of you." And so there's an indication here that they were homosexuals or sodomites at one time, but now they're not anymore. They were, so that they no longer are classified in that category. And so what I'd suggest to you is that what makes a person a homosexual or a lesbian is not so much the fact that they have the desire in them to have these sexual activities with the same sex, but what makes a person a homosexual is actually engaging in those sexual activities.
Their choice to act out upon those temptations and desires is what makes them a homosexual. In the same way, Mike, I think you'd agree, where, you know, God didn't, in that same list that you just read from 1 Corinthians 6, he talks about thieves. Well, God didn't make a person a thief.
Sure.
They chose to engage in thievery, and they became a thief.
And one of the great selling jobs of the homosexual community is to convince people that if you have a homosexual temptation, you are a homosexual. Don't fight it. That's what you are. And therefore, just go ahead and act upon those temptations. That's not the case. We're not a thief just because we may be tempted to steal. We're a thief if we steal.
Right.
And the homosexual community has convinced you that if you have some type of temptation along the homosexual lines, then you are homosexual, and you just need to go ahead and give in to that urge.
Sure. Yeah, I think the homosexual movement, this may not be true in all instances, but I've studied with some who struggle with this sin, and oftentimes they'll use some very illogical arguments. They'll ignore a lot of passages, and they'll twist some words to try to promote what they're teaching. And oftentimes these bitter people have become very bitter, and so we really need to reach out to them. I think it's obvious that God condemns these types of actions, and the consequences are very serious.
Well, we appreciate your call very much, Mike. Appreciate you listening to the virtual Bible study tonight.
Okay, thank you, brethren.
Thank you.
Bye. All right, the number to call is 931-381-4567. Send us an email to questions@collegeu.com or Skype us on the virtual Bible study tonight by clicking the Skype button on the page you use to join in on the program tonight. Time for a break. When we get back, we'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
After these important messages, we'll be back to take your comments. Email them during this break.
Do you remember when churches taught the truth in a straightforward and direct way with no sugarcoating? Can you recall when homosexuality was plainly condemned and unscriptural divorce and remarriage was not tolerated? Can you think back to a time when you heard hard sermons on moral issues like dancing, immodest dress, and filthy movies? Do you long for a return to the kind of teaching and preaching that you heard 30 or 40 years ago? The College View Church is trying hard to maintain the same moral principles that have been associated with God's people throughout the ages. They want to hold the line against the drifting that is characterized in so many churches today. Come and see. Visit the College View Church of Christ.
I'm James Buchanan from Columbia, Tennessee, and I love to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Broadcasting around the world with truths that are out of this world. The virtual Bible study. Take it away, guys.
And welcome back to the program. We're glad you're a part of it tonight. We hope you'll continue to join us on the virtual Bible study every Thursday night as we just gather together and study from God's Word so we can find out what His will is for us in our lives. We're going to go over to Murfreesboro and welcome Doug to the program. Hello, Doug. Welcome to the virtual Bible study.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try.
We're going to have Doug.
I think we lost Doug.
I think we did lose Doug. Doug, if you would call back, we'd love to talk with you on the program tonight. We're talking about homosexuality, our response to it, and what God says about homosexuality is acceptable to God. I think clearly not, as from we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there, Dad, that passage clearly tells us that homosexuality is not acceptable to God.
Let me read one more quote concerning the idea that people are born this way. And Chris, I think maybe you want to comment along these lines too. Dr. Robert Cronmeyer in Overcoming Homosexuality writes, "From my 25 years experience as a clinical psychologist, I firmly believe that homosexuality is a learned response to early painful experiences and that it can be unlearned. For those homosexuals who are unhappy with their life and find effective therapy, it is curable." So here's a psychologist who says you can change. Now, if I'm born that way, you know, I can't change from being a man to a woman without, you know,
some
physical altering surgery. But he's saying this, you can change. This is a learned, conditioned response.
Hey guys, let's go up to Bowling Green, Ohio, and welcome George to the virtual Bible study. Hello, George.
Yes, good evening, brethren.
Good evening.
Nice to be with you tonight.
Thank you for being with us.
I'd kind of like to approach this a little differently, maybe add something to the discussion. Of course, I'm a member of the body of Christ, have been since 1947. And I'm also retired and have a law background. And I just wanted to mention some things here that might help. The American Psychiatric Association, about 15 to 18 years ago, classified homosexuality as an unnatural behavior. And then if you recall, brethren, that the homosexuals meetings, and shortly thereafter, they changed that. Now, so they've got the help of the American Psychiatric Association, which is not hard science, incidentally, to back them up on so many things. But again, I want to mention this. We know we've all talked about the scriptures there tonight, and they're all well and good, but there's one word we should add to this. God, when he was talking about this, used the word abomination. And that word is a very, very strong meaning. It means that he detested, that he despised or hated the actions of such sinful things to the highest degree of detestation possible. That's what that means.
Yeah, George, in Leviticus 18, verse 22, it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind.
Right.
It is abomination. Leviticus 20, verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. Now, the word, as you say, word abomination is a strong word.
Very strong.
It's applied to other things that God hates as well, other deeds that God hates, like Deuteronomy 25:16 calls dishonesty an abomination. Proverbs 20, verse 10 says injustice is an abomination to God. Lying is abomination to God. Proverbs 12:22. Murder is an abomination to God. Proverbs 16, verses 16 through 19. It talks about deeds that God hates. They're called an abomination. It as I understand that word, it's like something putrid in your mouth that you just And that's how God views these sins, including, not exclusively, but including the sin of homosexuality.
I would like to add just one thing here. Because I keep up with things from the end of law, law as it is, I hope people, when they have their children in these, I call them, refer to them as the government schools, commonly called public schools, they are teaching from kindergarten, starting with kindergarten, that homosexuality is another lifestyle to children that are 5 years old.
Yeah, they start very early to condition them to accept this as a normal thing when the Bible says it is a perversion and an abomination.
And I just urge Christian parents to consider this when you're putting your children into school, because they formulate these ideas in their minds very young. And
I think you're exactly right, George. Appreciate your good comments. Thanks for the call from Ohio tonight. Thanks for listening to the virtual Bible study.
Thank you, George. Always good to hear from George. Glad that he's listening tonight. We're still waiting for Doug to call us back. Doug, if you're listening, we hope you'll give us a call back. Maybe we can get you on this time. 931-381-4567, questions@collegeu.com, or Skype us on the virtual Bible study tonight. Let us know your thoughts.
You know, George makes some good points there, especially about teaching kids that this is an alternative and accepted lifestyle, even at that age. There are books that are geared towards children, like Heather Has Two Mommies and things like that, that, you know, it is clearly an attempt to desensitize the people in this country towards sinful things, and in this case, homosexuality.
And you start conditioning children at an early age.
That's right.
Then that really promotes this agenda of getting people to accept this without question.
And look, this is going on not just in the classroom, but there are the proverbial, if you will, children's channels on TV that are geared just for children. They have cartoons and things like that that help a child learn certain things. And I happened to be catching a children's program the other night, and there was an ad that ran during the program, not the program itself, but an ad, a commercial, where there were young children who were speaking as if they were speaking to the child watching TV and encouraging them to not be judgmental and not consider someone to be so much different than you if they have an affection toward a member of the same gender. And they were trying to talk as if children would be talking and put that on the level of children. I was just amazed that this show on Noggin, which is a children's channel, was promoting.
So George makes a good point that as parents, you really need to be aware of what your children are being exposed to.
Well, that's right. I mean, just because it's a children's channel doesn't mean it's appropriate for even you to watch.
We've got Doug on the line now. And Doug, are you there, Doug?
Did you hang up on Doug?
I hope I didn't. Doug, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there we great. Go.
We thought we pushed the wrong button.
We don't like Dougs on the program. We've reached our quota.
How you doing, Doug?
Okay.
You got a comment for us tonight?
Yes, I wanted to comment about the those that profess that it's something that they're born with. In Romans 1, 26 and 27, it talks about it being an unnatural act. Mm-hmm. An indecent act, and also talks about it being a penalty for their errors. So it's very stern on teaching that this is not something that that's normal, that can be accepted by man, and actually it's wrong.
That's right. You know, some people want to leave the impression that the New Testament in particular is ambiguous on the question of homosexuality and what God thinks about it, but that text in Romans chapter 1 is so clear it would take some help to misunderstand it. I've got an alternate translation here. Doug, let me read this to you from Moffat's New Testament translation. It says, this is what God has given them up. That is why God has given them up to vile passions. Their women have exchanged the natural function of sex for what is unnatural. And in the same way, the males have abandoned the natural use of women and flamed out in lust for one another, men perpetrating shameless acts with their own sex and getting in their own persons the due recompense of their perversity. That's pretty plain language, isn't it?
Very much.
Well, I think you're exactly right, Doug. Appreciate your input on that, and I think you've just helped clarify the what the Bible says about it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study tonight.
Good to hear from Doug. 931-381-4567, questions@collegeu.com, or Skype the Virtual Bible Study to join in on the discussion tonight. Time for a break, and then we'll come back and we'll continue the discussion. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The Virtual Bible Study continues right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. But regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
I'm Troy Smith, and now I'm 13 years old.
I'm Mike Smith. I'm Troy's dad, and we love to listen to the Virtual Bible Study every Thursday night.
Missed a recent Virtual Bible Study program? Listen to any of our past programs from the archive section of our website. Now, back to the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome back to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad you're a part of it tonight. Again, we're talking about homosexuality, our response to it, what the Bible says about homosexuality. If you have any thoughts, we want to hear from you, 931-381-4567, or send us an email to questions@collegeu.com, or you can Skype us on the Virtual Bible Study tonight.
Jacob, we've got an email from Mike here in Columbia, Tennessee, and he says, on the front page of today's USA Today, there's an article entitled, Ruling on Gays May Echo at Polls. The article centers on New Jersey, where lawmakers must decide if same-sex couples can marry. At the present, same-sex couples in New Jersey are given all the benefits and rights enjoyed by married men and women, but they cannot marry. So that was the New Jersey ruling. He goes on to say, on November 7th, seven states will vote on constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. These seven are Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, South Dakota, South Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, and Wisconsin. Mike adds, this is an important moral issue in all parts of this country. On November 7th, we need to vote for this constitutional amendment that will ban same-sex marriages. I agree with Mike on that. I think it's a way that Christians can let their light shine. Jesus said we're to be salt and light in this world, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And one of the ways that we can be salt and light is to take a moral stand. And whenever we have and whenever we're given a voice to do so, let the truth be heard. So I would agree with that. This is not a political program. We're not here to endorse political campaigns or political candidates. We're not here to take a stand on political issues. But you know, Chris, this is not a political issue. This is a moral issue.
It really is a moral issue, and neither of the two major parties are the ones really getting behind and endorsing one or the other, although it may seem like that is the case. I'm sure that one of the parties would in some respects favor more of a more accepting approach to this idea. But I have, if I may say personally, already voted early, and regardless of what party I might have voted for, I voted for this issue on the basis of what does the Bible teach about it, and I had to vote yes to an amendment that would clarify for whatever reason the law of Tennessee on marriage, and to define it as between one man and one woman, which is what marriage always has been. It has never been anything but that. And it's a shame that it's so late in life now that we are coming to this discussion, this table, to figure out whether or not we're going to alter the word marriage and have this discussion.
You would think that it wouldn't even have to be an issue, that it's such an obvious thing.
If I might say very quickly, I remember hearing a debate several years ago between our brother and a homosexual preacher, and one of the telling moments in that during the debate was not so much what the two participants said. Behind me, tapped on the shoulder of an older brother sitting in front of me, and or beside me, and said to him, "Did you ever think in your lifetime we'd be debating this?" And it really is, I think, a sad commentary on where we are today.
The number to call is 931-381-4567. Send us an email to questions@collegeu.com or Skype us on the virtual Bible study tonight. What do you think about homosexuality? What's your response to it? How do you deal with those who are homosexual? What do you believe the Bible says about it? We need to hear from you on the program tonight.
Got an email from here in Columbia, Tennessee, that says, "Amen to what George said. We as Christians need to support other Christians who decide to homeschool. We're supposed to be different." So that was in the line of warning our kids, teaching our kids.
Sure.
And then another email from Cullioca, Tennessee. Mike in Cullioca says, "We know we are to condemn sin. If a person sins, we should let that person know and show him or her where they are wrong. In the workplace, we can speak out against a person who may be using bad language or some other sin, and most of the time these people will be corrected. But we are warned not to speak a word about the ones who are homosexuals. We could lose our jobs. This homosexual thing has become a serious situation." I think Mike's exactly right. It's pretty incredible that the homosexual agenda has been so successfully promoted. As you were saying, Chris, just a moment ago, who would have thought that we'd be debating this, and even debating it among people who are professed Christians. You know, there are people who are professed Christians who say we should not be speaking out against homosexuals. Jacob, you referenced a church in Nashville that's going to have a person come and teach why they should be accepted and even into the ministry of these denominational churches. So it's a pretty amazing thing, to be sure.
Well, I think it's a illustration of the perversion and how Romans 1 really chronicles it for us, and how that people go after these strange perversions, and as a result of their sin and their sinfulness, it just continues to get worse and worse.
And what is amazing is that these folks claim to be following the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and yet they are completely ignoring His will as revealed not only by His own mouth, but by the mouth and pen of His apostles.
Let's take on a question that sometimes comes up, or an argument that's sometimes made. Maybe that's the way I better describe it. You know, we talk about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament, and God destroyed those cities. And we often use that as an example of God's outrage against the sin of homosexuality. But sometimes those in the homosexual community argue that homosexuality was not the sin of Sodom. In fact, I have a quote here. I quoted from this tract earlier, the Universal Fellowship Press, "Homosexuality, What the Bible Does and Does Not Say." It says, "The people of Sodom broke the law of hospitality to strangers, which was so religiously observed in that culture. But to say the sin, that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed for homosexuality, is to misinterpret the scriptures. The Bible says God destroyed Sodom because 10 righteous people could not be found. The use of the expression, 'bring these men out to us that we may know them,' is the basis for most of the misinterpretation. Yet the Hebrew verb used here does not mean sexual intercourse every time it's used." So let's look at that text for a minute in Genesis 19. When the messengers of God were sent into the city of Sodom, and they went into the house of Lot. Lot was a righteous man, the Bible tells us. But it says, "The men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, 'Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out to us, that we may know them.' And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after them, and said, 'I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly.' And they said, 'Stand back.' And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So that's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know that shortly thereafter God did destroy those cities. What about the idea that homosexuality was not their sin?
Well, that, there is just no way to read that and say that. I mean, that you lose all credibility, and this is not the only text one can go to talk about what took place at Sodom and Gomorrah. It is true that there were not 10 righteous people there. It is true that these people were not hospitable. It's also true that these men were trying to force themselves upon these other men who were appeared as men but were angels sent there to gather Lot and his family from what was about to take place in Sodom and Gomorrah. Jude writes in the New Testament, it's very interesting to read what he says in Jude verse 6, "And angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, he is kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality." What did they do? The Holy Spirit said they indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh and are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Why? Because they engaged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh. Now, you to borrow your phrase from earlier, you have to work hard to misunderstand that.
You know, if the sin of Sodom was not homosexuality, then for nearly 4,000 years, men have misused the terms sodomy and sodomite, because those terms, as they are used and defined in our modern English language, relate to the city of Sodom and that sin. And in fact, if the sin of Sodom was not homosexuality, even the Bible misuses that terminology in Deuteronomy 23:17, among other places. There are plenty of places. But it says, "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." The Bible there, by using the term sodomite, legitimately proves that the sin of Sodom was homosexuality. You know, this idea that they were just inhospitable actually doesn't fit with the text. If you took that text and read it that way, they wanted Lot to bring the men out so we could get to know them.
Yeah.
Now, we understand that the Bible is using that expression there, that they wanted to have a sexual knowledge
of
them.
That's exactly what they wanted.
But if you don't believe that they were homosexuals, and if you don't believe that that's what they were interested in, then it actually says that they were interested in being hospitable. And Lot wouldn't let them be.
That's right. So
that doesn't work, does it?
One more argument, Dad, let's look at that the homosexuals like to make, and that is that Jesus didn't condemn it. You can look at what Jesus taught in his life here on earth, and that he never said anything about homosexuality. In fact, he said a lot of things about heterosexuality, a lot of warnings and laws regarding that, but Jesus never said anything about homosexuality. What would you say about that argument, Dad?
Well, first of all, I think probably the first argument I would want to make is that we read earlier, for instance, from 1 Corinthians 9, also from Romans 1, where homosexuality is clearly condemned in the things that the Apostle Paul wrote. And in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, Paul said, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." So through the inspired apostles, the Lord did speak against homosexuality. I would make that argument. That would be one of my arguments to make.
And I would also make the argument, if I may kind of recite what you're saying, restate the case that is being made. I remember reading in the Tennessean several years ago, probably 7 years ago or better, there was a cartoon in the back of the paper, and the cartoon had two people depicted, and one was holding up a picket sign that had nothing on it, and the other was drawn so as to look at that picket sign and kind of have a question about himself. And so the guy that was holding the picket sign said, "What? Oh, this is everything that Jesus said about homosexuality in the New Testament." Well, that's cute and it's funny, but it doesn't accomplish their point, because here is the bottom line. when you go back into Genesis chapter 6 and you read how that Noah was told to make an ark of gopher wood, there was no mention of any other wood. Thus, all other woods were condemned, even though there was no specific prohibition. And in other words, you don't read God saying to Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood, but not of cedar. And yet we understand from his command and the fact that Noah did all that God told him to do, that all other substances concerning wood would have been prohibited. When Jesus answered the question of the Pharisees, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any reason at all? He answered and said, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them both male and female, and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife. Here was his family unit over here. He was trained up with his father and mother. Now he's leaving home, and he is to be joined to his husband. Is that what he said? No, he said he's to be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. What is a wife if not a woman?
So what you're saying there, Chris, is that by specifying that there's the one man, one woman relationship,
absolutely,
of marriage, mm-hmm, by specifying that Jesus has made a statement about homosexuality. It's not authorized. It's not there. One man, one woman for life. That's God's plan. Now,
I wonder too, if the advocates of child molestation would make the same case. Well, Jesus never said anything about that. You know, how specific does the Lord have to be to make something sinful or something authorized? He said a man is to join to his wife, and that really ends the lesson on that.
Exactly right. You know, if someone thinks that that's too hard to live by, in other words, you know, Jesus' own disciples said at the end of that discussion, they said in verse 10, if this be the case of a man with his wife, it's good not to marry. In other words, that's a hard saying, Jesus, right, you just put on us. That's a hard saying. And Jesus said in verse 12, there are some eunuchs which are so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which are made eunuchs of men, and there be some eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. You know, Jesus said there is an alternative. If you can't live with that one man, one woman deal,
that's right,
the alternative is that you could live a monogamous, if you can't live in a monogamous heterosexual union, then celibacy is an option, and you know, it would be a doable thing if you can't live by the one woman, one man relationship that God has authorized.
Guys, let's take a break. When we get back, we've got a lot to talk about in our response to the homosexuals. What are our responsibilities towards them, and how do we behave in a society that is becoming more and more familiar and accepting of homosexuality? What's our reaction to that society? How do we live in such a way that we maintain purity in such a wicked society that we live in? We want to hear from you. Plenty of time to take your comments at 931-381-4567. Send us an email to questions@collegeview.com or Skype us on the virtual Bible study tonight. We want to hear from you. There's more to go when we get back right after this.
Hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College View Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College View Church of Christ on the virtual Bible study and are interested in finding out more about the church. But you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the virtual Bible study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study and hope to hear from you soon.
I'm Arthur Haynes from Culloch, Tennessee, and one of my greatest highlights of the week is to listen to the virtual Bible study.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
And we're back. Thanks for joining us on the virtual Bible study tonight, and we'd like to hear from you. What do you think about homosexuality, and how do you respond to the homosexual. How do you maintain purity in the impure world that we live in? The number call to be a part of the program tonight is 931-381-4567. The email address to use is questions@collegeview.com. The Skype contact is the virtual Bible study, or click the icon on the page you use to join the study tonight. We'd like to hear from you on the program tonight. What are our responsibilities towards the homosexual, Dad? That's a question that we need to be prepared up for. Unfortunately, we're likely to come in contact with one or more homosexuals on a daily basis. What's our responsibility to those individuals?
Well, I think there's some things that we need to let the homosexuals know from the Word of God. If we are Bible-believing people, and when we are, I mean, that's what the virtual Bible study is all about. We believe the Bible. We want to know what it says. If we believe and accept the Bible, then we need to let the homosexuals, instead of sort of shying away, stepping back, being afraid to address it, we need to let the homosexuals know what the Bible teaches. It's not what we think. It's not our prejudice. It's not our personal opinion. We're going to talk in a minute about imposing our own morality. We're not trying to impose our own morality. We're trying to find out what the Bible says. And the Bible says that homosexuality is not normal. It's not inherited, as we already said. It's not an acceptable alternative lifestyle. The Bible says that homosexuality is a sin. I mean, it's just pretty straightforward about that. We referenced earlier 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Homosexuality is a sin. We need to say so. We need to be upfront about that and not shy away from that. Even when there are Christians who are trying to compromise on that point, or professed Christians who are trying to compromise on that point, we need to take that firm stand. Homosexuality is a sin. It's called an abomination to God, and it produces horrible consequences, and people's souls will be lost because of homosexuality.
People need to know that, Chris. We need to be teaching that. We don't need to back down. The Bible is very clear. Homosexuality is a sin. Those who do this activity are not pleasing to God. God will punish them eternally, just as he will other sins. That's what we need to be teaching.
Sure, and that's what this whole program has been about. We're trying to get to the bottom of what the Word of God says about the subject, and we want to make sure that, you know, our first responsibility as those who love all men is to teach those who are opposite of the truth, or who are living contrary to the truth, what the truth is. And as Greg mentioned a moment ago, homosexuality is sinful. The Bible teaches it, and we want them to come out of that, like we want adulterers to come out of sin, like we want fornicators to stop sinning, like we want thieves to stop stealing.
One thing that we must tell the homosexual is that God loves them.
That's right.
And God wants them to be saved, and that Christ died for their sins. And we've been instructed to go to the homosexual and tell them that. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16 is written to us in response to the homosexual and to all sinners. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We need to go to the homosexual, Dad. Let them know that there is forgiveness and salvation available through Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility towards them.
You know, we were referencing 1 Corinthians 6 again, and in that text is a reference to some who were homosexuals and who had repented of that and had been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, remember, neither fornicators nor idolaters nor adulterers nor homosexuals nor sodomites nor thieves nor covetous nor drunkards nor revilers nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So in Corinth, in the church at Corinth, some of those Christians there had previously been practicing homosexuals, but they had given that up. Now, I think it's key. They had given it up. They couldn't keep being homosexuals,
right?
Just like the thieves couldn't keep being thieves, the drunkards couldn't keep being drunkards, the homosexuals couldn't keep practicing homosexuality either. They had given it up, which is proof of the fact that a person can change, can repent, can come to the Lord for forgiveness.
Exactly. We need to understand that. We need to teach that to the homosexual, Dad. We need to love them. You know, Chris, some would say this is hate speech, to say that a homosexual is sinning by engaging in homosexuality, that homosexual lifestyle is not pleasing to God and it is sinful. Some would say that's hate speech. We say it's exactly the opposite. We say it's love speech because we love them, right, because we understand that it is not pleasing to God. We love them enough to want them to understand that. And so we say that it is a sin because God hates it, and we want them to be in a right relationship with God.
Well, is it hate speech to preach that it's sin to commit fornication, to preach to teenagers who are not controlling themselves, that what they're doing is sinful? Is that hate speech?
Or is it hate speech to say that a person shouldn't commit murder? You murderer, right, stop murdering. You thieves, stop thieving. Right. When we teach what the Bible teaches, we're not voicing hate. We're voicing the love of God, because God has ordained what is best for us, and we're trying to encourage everyone to live by that law.
We do not hate homosexuals. If we hated homosexuals, we'd be sinning ourselves.
That's right.
We love homosexuals, mm-hmm, but we do not appreciate their sin. We do not love their sin. We do not accept their sin. God doesn't love their sin. God does not accept their sin, and that's the same position
we have. And to be fair, we don't accept any sin. We don't accept sin when our brethren commit it. We have divine commands as to what to do in situations like that. So, you know, it's not hate speech to point out the truth. Now, certainly there are ways in which we point the truth out that might be uncharacteristic of a Christian. The Lord's bondservant is not to be quarrelsome, but he's to be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, and he is to be long-suffering in that regard, so that God might grant an individual in sin the opportunity to repent, leading to the knowledge of the truth. And so we certainly could say something in a way that would push an individual away, whether he's a homosexual or a heterosexual and a fornicator or a thief. But, you know, however one says something is one thing, and maybe we need to deal with that on another occasion. But if what is said is the truth, it's not hate speech. It may be said with a hateful attitude sometimes, and that's not right either. But it's not hate speech.
Quickly, we've got some emails, Dan.
Got an email from Wade in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. He says, I agree with Chris. You know, when the Bible speaks of a man and a woman being joined together, it excludes other arrangements. He said, I agree with Chris. Let's take it a step further. Ephesians 5 says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Right.
And he goes on and referenced that text. He says, notice there is nothing said about husbands loving their husbands and being in subjection to their wives.
Right.
That the Bible is exclusive on that subject. And then we got an email from Ohio. The one man, one woman that Jesus has spoken about as to marriage excludes all other arrangements, the same as sing and make melody in your hearts excludes all other types of music. And you were making that point, Chris, and I think that's exactly right as well.
All right. Quickly, guys, let's talk about one more thing. What's our response to the evil world that we live in? How do we maintain purity? We talked about it before the program. Lot was living in a world that was very much like ours. Immorality was rampant. Homosexuality was rampant.
When he moved his family to the city of Sodom, he put his family in moral and spiritual jeopardy, and he paid a price for it. Now, Lot himself was a good man. 2 Peter 2, verses 7 and 8 call Lot a righteous man who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked who were around him. And so he personally was a good man, but he moved his family into a situation where they were going to be constantly exposed to the immorality of the city of Sodom. Turns out that he lost every member of his family.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his wife, he lost his daughters, he lost everything he had as a result of that. And he stands as a lesson for us that if we try to hold hands with the world, if we try to tolerate the wickedness and sort of grow callous to it and it doesn't really bother us anymore, and you know, in large part that's what's happening on this homosexual question. The homosexual agenda has been so effectively promoted that even people now who are Christians don't feel compelled to speak out against it. Even people who profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ think that they somehow are supposed to not express themselves on that subject.
Sure, we're upset about it. It bothers us that there's homosexuals around and that it is accepted, but we don't do anything about it. Just like Lot, he was upset about it, but it wasn't upset enough about it to move out of the city, right?
Right.
And he wanted to be pleasing to God. He would have been with us on the program tonight if he were here. He would say, right on, you're preaching it like it needs to be preached. I agree with you. But Lot did something that he didn't do enough, right? He lost his family. His daughters even had relations with him. Sure, they weren't homosexuals.
Right.
They were heterosexual, but Lot had allowed the wickedness of the world to tarnish him and to stain his family. Mm-hmm. and they were accepting of sin that they should not have been accepting of, we can be guilty of the same if we're not careful.
Yeah, it's the old adage, garbage in, garbage out. You know, as a man thinks within him is the heart, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. Paul said, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals, 1 Corinthians 15:33. So we do have to live in the world, but we cannot. We cannot, because our soul is too great a price to pay. We cannot live of the world.
Well, you know, as we live in the world, we need to be careful of those evil influences, and the evil influences abound in the media, especially, Chris. We see it in television programs.
Sure.
Homosexuality is made light of. It is something that's funny and something that should be acceptable.
The token homosexual in nearly every sitcom.
All right.
Yeah.
Why are we watching that? Let me ask you that question. Why are we watching that? Are we like Lot? There shouldn't be that homosexual on that program, but we sit there and we watch it, and we allow it to be piped into our family.
Well, hopefully we're not watching it.
Well, all right, but we say there's that token homosexual on every program.
Well, I mean, it's just what you know.
Okay,
it's what you know,
all right,
now.
And it's on the radio, and we hear it on the in the music now. And maybe it's not homosexuality, but it's adultery and fornication.
Sure, absolutely.
And we say that shouldn't be on there, but we leave it on, and we
watch
say that's
anyway.
A good song. I like that song. Let's play it again. All right, we've got to be careful about that. We'll be just like Lot. We'll lose our soul. We'll lose our family. Because we have allowed the world to tarnish us.
Well, to desensitize you, there's no question.
Desensitize, good word. Jake, we're out of time, but I think we've had a good study, an important study of a very pertinent, in-the-news kind of topic that relates directly to the things that are taught in the Bible. God has spoken on this. You know, the Bible was written a long time ago. The newest parts of our Bible are 2,000 years old. But it is absolutely pertinent to the modern day. It addresses all of our needs. It provides us with all things necessary for life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says. And so it's important for us to look to the Bible on questions like homosexuality and get God's answer, not our personal opinions, not our personal prejudices, what God says.
We appreciate you listening to the program tonight. Thank you, Chris, for being a part of it.
Well, thank you, and the pleasure was mine.
And, Dad, we want to let our listeners know if they've got any comments or questions about what we said on the program tonight. We'd love to study those with them in further detail. And just give us a call or send us an email at any time.
Our email address is always up, questions@collegeview.com.
If this is your first time listening to the program, maybe take a minute and send us an email. Let us know how you found out about the Virtual Bible Study. And we encourage you to be back here next Thursday for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study, when we'll join you to study from God's Word, the Bible. In the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.